E-tidings, Cosmos. Good morning, 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tá míle fáilte rath anseo. I am your host, Richard McSweeney. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. A thought came to me the other day, that even though a person were to be living on their own in a grove by a stream, they are a community unto themselves, with their many ideas and sensations. In similitude are they unto any two, three, five, nine, or ever so many the more people living together. And there are obligations with living within a community, such as the no-taking of unilateral decisions by any one member, or the doing of things clandestinely that have either an immediate or long-term effect on the other members. There always needs to be some form of consultation, and the coming to a decision that is as much as possible acceptable to everyone. Without fundamental obligations, responsibilities and considerations, a community will not be at peace with itself. Apprehensiveness will be the modes of the day, while turnings and twistings those of the night. And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, he delighted in communing with his own heart. It was a way of life for him. With finding so much beauty and awe in the world about him, he had lost to share with his heart. He was never in want of a thought, and all his thoughts were of goodness. He would ask counsel of the clouds, hills, and pastorlands, of the springs, streams, and rivers, of the animals small and great. And he would ask counsel of those handful on the island who were open to nature. The quietude of the night he would let instruct him, and the melodies of the day teach him. He was the light of his own countenance, and that light shone bright contentment and peace unto all who met him, unto all who enjoyed the company and prosperity of his words. He said his face was not downwards like the grazing animals of the pasturelands and the hillsides, but upward like the trees. He drank not from muddy pools of thoughts, but from pure fountains of living water, come from some place beyond where words have no ability to express. The light of nature's countenance was everything for him. It was his riches, honour, and joy, his wholesomeness, strength, and ease. Having this, he had no need and no room for anything more. But the Druids and the Christians weren't able to understand this about him. They were dark to light. In a dream, he said he saw a man carrying thousands of months of years under his back, and he was being followed by a group of people. "Where are you going?" he asked him. He answered that they were going to an island in the great ocean to the west. In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from Prince Hamlet, The Republic, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from Prince Hamlet. Let her come in. How now? What noise is that? Oh, he dry up my brains. Tears seven times salt burn out the sense and virtue of mine eye. By heaven, thy madness shall be paid by weight till our scale turn the beam. O Rose of May, dear maid, kind sister, sweet Ophelia! O heavens, is it possible a young man's maid's wits should be as moral as an old man's life? Nature is fine in love, and where 'tis fine, it sends some precious instance of itself after the thing it loves. They bore him barefaced on the bier. Hey, nonny, nonny, hey, nonny, and in his grave rained many a tear. Fare ye well, my dove. Hadst thou thy wits, then didst persuade revenge, it could not move thus. You must sing adown, adown, and you call him adown, adown. Oh, how the wheel becomes it! It is the false steward that stole his master's daughter. This nothing is more than matter. There's rosemary, that's for remembrance, pray. Love, remember, there is pansies, that's for thoughts. A document in madness, thoughts and remembrance fitted. There's fennel for you, and columbines, there's rue for you, and here's some for me. We may call it herb grace of Sundays. Oh, you must wear your rue with a difference. There's a daisy. I would give you some violets, but they withered all when my father died. They say he made a good end. For bonny sweet Robin, he's all my joy. Thought and affliction, passion, hell itself, she turns to favour and to prettiness. And will he not come again? And will he not come again? No, no, he is dead. Go to thy deathbed. He never will come again. His beard was as white as snow, all flaxen was his poll. He is gone, and we must cast away moan. God had mercy on his soul, and of all Christian souls, I pray God, God be with ye. A reading from Plato's The Republic. And about knowledge and ignorance in general, see whether you think that any man who has knowledge ever would wish to have the choice of saying or doing more than another man who has knowledge. Would he not rather say or do the same as he's like in the same case? That, I suppose, can hardly be denied. And what of the ignorant? Would he not desire to have more than either the knowing or the ignorant? I dare say. And the knowing is wise? Yes. And the wise is good? True. Then the wise and good will not desire to gain more than his like, but more than his unlike and opposite? I suppose so. Whereas the bad and ignorant will desire to gain more than both? Yes. But did we not say, Trashimachus, that the unjust goes beyond both his like and unlike? Were not these your words? They were. They were. And you also said that the just will not go beyond his like, but his unlike? Yes. Then, the just is like the wise and good, and the unjust like the evil and ignorant. That is the inference. And each of them is such as he like, as his like is? That was admitted. Then the just has turned out to be wise and good, and the unjust evil and ignorant. Trashimachus made all these admissions, not fluently, as I repeat them, but with extreme reluctance. It was a hot summer's day, and the perspiration poured from him in torrents, and then I saw what I had never seen before, Trashimachus blushing. As we were now agreed that justice was virtue and wisdom, and injustice vice and ignorance, I proceeded to another point. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. No tree star visitor spoke to me, saying, Immaculate of Era, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn? An elderly wise woman, whom I happened to meet along the way of an early in summer's day, put this question to me, saying, What is that which was? What is that which is? And what is that which is on its ever-arriving way? Movement by two ways presented. How so do you mean? There was that which set out on its way, and with having gone as far as it needed to go, it headed on back the way it had come. take me into concepts that I can comprehend. There was that which set out on its way, that we will call in human language time and literally everything with it. But it is not time, for there is no such thing as time. Anyway, lest we give way to such thoughts and get off course, let's stay with saying that everything that was ever meant to be had first, as it were, to be laid down in reverse in order for it to be. I'm nicely lost now, but continue on, for I might be able to enter into an understanding. When everything that is meant to be is completely laid down in reverse, the movement pauses, for it has gone as far as it intended to go. Now it starts what we call the return movement of everything becoming itself. What humans call the past is that, the returning. What they call the present is the returning as we are experiencing it, and its ongoing, the future. My mind must be letting me down a bit, for your meanings are not fully coming home to me. Is there no simple, no tangible example you can let me have? Right then. Let's stand up and make one together. Let's stand here. Now let's slowly walk backwards for a little while. Let's stop here a moment. We walking in reverse is what may be called the forward movement of things, although we were walking in reverse. The laying down of everything in reverse. In this case, the laying down of ourselves. Now let's walk forward. This is the past coming up to the present, to where we were seated earlier. Now let's keep on walking a little further. This is the future. Without we having first walked back in reverse, we would not have been able to walk forward into ourselves. If we hadn't first been, we couldn't now be. I got it. I got it. I got it. That which was, is and will be, is the returning movement of that which you call the forward movement. And that movement we first, and without that, and that without we first having been, we could never be. Is that right? Wonderful. That's it. Then may I ask, how did the forward movement first move? What caused it to move? Was there someone, like, say, unto a god, who initiated it, or did it somehow start to move all of its own accord? To say the forward movement started out on its journey is merely a way of saying that that which was, that which is, and that which will be, first was that which it wasn't. Then, how did the forward movement determine it had gone as far as it needed to go in the laying down of all things in reverse? That is merely a way of saying that the return movement set out on its journey. Nothing about this, I know, is easily placed in the confines of human language. Suffice it is perhaps to say that we wouldn't be here on this lovely early in summer's day, even the day itself wouldn't be, if it and we hadn't first existed in reverse. It and we were laid down in reverse in the forward movement, and in the returning movement, taken ourselves up. Then are you saying, I was, we were here before, but in reverse? Yes, that is what I am saying. We will definitely have to talk again another day, for this is fascinating. Let's do that, for it is indeed most delightful to be conversing with you on such matters. For me too, until we meet again. Yes, until we meet again. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when we're living in your own realm and time, you will trust, rely on, and be confident in yourself. Remember, whenever and wherever, to bravely speak out on issues when you know quite well you ought to. Refuse to let yourself silence you. The coming repeal here on the Isle of Ireland of the 8th Amendment of the Constitution Act 1983, which acknowledges the right to life of the unborn with due regard to the equal right to life of the mother, is such an issue in need of your courageous response. Say no on Referendum Day, Friday 25th of May, to the making of a law that would fast-track us as individuals and as a people to inhumanity. The beloved lives in the wombs of tomorrows will to us in their own way be eternally grateful and ever so proud of us. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland. On the air globally for about 15 minutes Monday to Friday and occasionally on the weekends. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseterDramaScripts.com. It is truly an honor to have you listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.